Hi, my name is Saki Mozafarian. I realize this is a good time of day to be eating po' boys and muffaletta sandwiches, so I am very appreciative that you're all here in the room with us today. I'm going to be talking about a competitive beverage availability in Boston Public Schools after implementation of a comprehensive district-wide nutrition policy. I'm here on behalf of our colleagues at the Harvard School of Public Health Prevention Research Center and our partners at the Boston Public Schools. I'd like to acknowledge our funders, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention through the NOPRIN network, and I have nothing to disclose for financial relationships. So I'll be talking about competitive beverages. Competitive beverages are beverages that are available for sale outside of the federal reimbursable school meal program during the school day, and this includes all beverages available in a variety of these different access points. The availability of competitive beverages leads to consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages when available, which in turn are associated with overweight and obesity. Currently, there's both national and recommended standards for competitive beverages. The USDA is the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, which was implemented in 2011. All schools are permitted to sell plain water, unflavored low-fat milk, flavored non-fat milk, and 100% juices, while high school levels are allowed to sell calorie-free, lower-calorie options and caffeinated beverages with certain portion size, calorie, and sugar requirements. Similar, the Institute of Medicine has recommendations, which is similar to that of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, with the exception that the flavored milk can be low or non-fat, and not just non-fat. And additionally, high schools are allowed to sell diet caffeine-free beverages after school, and as well as sports drinks for students, athletes only in the after-school hours. So how prevalent are competitive beverages in school? This chart is from the Bridging the Gap research brief, and it shows the percentage of students with access to any competitive beverages, as denoted in the blue part of the bar graph, and only healthy beverages, which is the purple part of the bar graph. This is a nationally representative sample of U.S. public schools, over 3,200. And as you can see, over 90% of both high school and middle school students have access to competitive beverages at schools, and less so in the elementary schools. But overall, most of them are any competitive beverages that don't necessarily have to adhere to the IOM standards, which is how they defined healthy beverages here. From the same research brief, this is the percentage of students with sugar-sweetened beverages available for purchase in school. 88% of high school students, 63% of middle school students have access to sugar-sweetened beverages at schools. And while these trends have decreased over time, they're still widely available in schools. So state and school district level competitive beverage policies have shown that students that purchase and consume fewer sugar sweetened beverages when state laws or district policies prohibit such beverages from being sold in schools. And while many school districts have wellness policies, they don't necessarily include the guidelines for competitive venues, including sugar-sweetened beverages. And among those wellness policies that do address sugar-sweetened beverages, the provisions are often weak, meaning that they recommend or suggest certain limits around sugar-sweetened beverages. Excuse me. But they're not required, and similarly, they might apply to some grades and not others. So now I'm going to shift now to the Boston Public School System, which is who we worked with on this study. This picture is a photo of Boston Latin, which is just down the road from us at the Harvard School of Public Health. Fun fact, it's the first public school in the nation, established back in 1635. The Boston Public School System educates 74% of school-aged children that live in the Boston area. Over 57,000 attend, 78% are low income, and it's one of the most diverse school districts nationwide, with over 75% of the students attending either Hispanic or Black. So in 2004, the Boston Public School Committee established competitive beverage nutrition standards. As part of those standards, they banned sugar-sweetened beverages, including soda, fruit drinks, and sports drinks. In addition, set portion sizes and sugar limits to other beverages that were available. So water is permitted to be sold in elementary, middle, and high schools. without any artificial sweeteners, non-carbonated, caffeine-free, and no other additives. For elementary school, this is the only type of competitive beverage that they are allowed to sell in the Boston Public Schools. In middle school, they're allowed to serve 100% juices in portion sizes of 4 ounces or less, and then 1% or non-fat unflavored milk and non-fat flavored milk in an 8-ounce portion size, less than 22 grams of sugar. High schools are permitted to serve similar beverages to that of middle schools, except the 100% juices can be served in an 8-ounce portion size. Other beverages, as I mentioned, were banned and not permitted, and caffeine and artificial sweeteners are also not permitted to be sold. So our colleagues evaluated this ban on sugar-sweetened beverages in the Boston Public School System 2 years after implementation of the 2004 ban. And what they found was a change in the consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages among Boston Public School students. So they found significant declines among the students by 0.3 servings a day, and this was among just over 2,000 students. When compared against national trends using NHANES data, this data indicated no significant nationwide change in sugar-sweetened beverage consumptions at the same time. However, the long-term sustainability of the adherence to the ban since the initial 2004 implementation is unknown, which is what I'll be shifting to talk about today. So the research aims were to evaluate the competitive beverage availability and adherence to the nutrition guidelines in Boston Public Schools 9 years after implementation of the district-wide policy. This is a map of the Boston Public School District. We surveyed the availability of competitive beverages in 122 Boston Public School buildings between March and June 2013. We used photograph and assessments forms to document the beverages for sale, including the type, brand, portion size, percent juice, percent milk fat, and the access point type as well, including vending machines, a la carte, school stores, and cafes. We then went to manufacturers' websites to determine the calories, fat, sugar, and whether or not the beverages contained artificial sweeteners or caffeine. And as our analysis, we determined what types of beverages were available at each access point and calculated the percent of those beverages meeting the BPS guidelines. Some school buildings were arranged in such a way that there would be an elementary and a middle school in the same building and then have a shared cafeteria, in which cases we would apply the nutrition standard for the lowest grade level. We excluded vending machines and teachers' lounges, and 7 school buildings where the guidelines did not apply we also excluded from the analysis. These were early child care and education centers or adult vocational technology schools or the administrative offices for the food and nutrition services. So at the end, we did our analysis on 115 Boston Public School buildings. 78 of those were elementary schools, 13 middle schools, and 24 high schools. You can see that 88% of elementary schools had no beverages available at all, 61% of middle schools, and 37% of high schools had no beverages available. So almost 75% of Boston Public Schools did not have any competitive beverages available in 2013. I'm going to take a closer zoom up now on these 29 schools where competitive beverages were available, 9 elementary, 5 middle schools, and 15 of the high schools. This shows the percent of schools meeting the nutrition standards in schools with beverages for sale. Among the 9 elementary schools, 4 were in full compliance with the Boston Public School Nutrition Standards, 3 of the middle schools, and 10 of the high schools. The beverages were sold mostly in vending machines in elementary and high schools, and in middle schools, the competitive beverages were sold equally between vending machines and cafeteria sales, and they also had a school store that accounted for 4 of the competitive beverages that were for sale. Overall, there were 118 competitive beverages that we looked at in this analysis. So for summary, on the school level, 90% of the Boston Public Schools are meeting the competitive beverage standards that they set for themselves. 75% of them don't offer competitive beverages at all, and 15 of them offered competitive beverages and were in full compliance with the standards. So now we're going to zoom up again on the 10% of Boston Public Schools that don't meet the competitive beverage standards and ask the question, well, what kinds of beverages are sold at the schools that are not in full compliance with the standards. So this is a snapshot of the elementary school. There's 9 schools that sold 27 beverages in total. 30% of them were met the standards, and those were water because that's all they're allowed to serve. And as you can see on the bar chart on the right, 60% of them were not in compliance, but the vast majority of them were 100% juice and unflavored milk. It's worth noting that by the Healthy Hunger Free Kids and the IOM standards, they would be in compliance for this chunk of beverages, but not based on the BPS standards. Less so are sugar sweetened beverages and diet drinks. There were 2 of each of those, and those were clustered and served and sold in just 1 school. So 1 school accounted for 4 of those beverages that did not meet the standard. For middle schools, there were 5 schools and 16 beverages served in all. 69% of those beverages were met the standards, mostly water and then unflavored milk and 100% juice. Those that were not meeting the standard, there were 4 beverages that were served in 1 school. They were Fruit 2O waters, which are the waters that are calorie-free but have artificial sweetener in it, which is the reason for them not meeting the standards. And then there was 1 1% chocolate milk, and they're only allowed to serve non-fat milk. So that's the little purple bar you see there. Finally, we moved to high schools, where 77% of the beverages were met the standards, mostly, again, water and juice. The 23% that did not meet the standard, there were 8 total sugar-sweetened beverages, 6 of which were Gatorades that were served at 1 school, and then a sweetened tea and a soda were sold at another one. The diet drink was also served at the same schools as the soda and sweetened tea. And then the blue other category were some beverages that were sold in a cafe. It was coffee, tea, and fruit smoothies. So in summary, we surveyed 122 Boston Public School buildings and evaluated 118 beverages sold. Of the 10% of Boston public schools that do not meet the competitive beverage standards, in elementary schools, it was primarily 100% juice and low-fat unflavored milk that didn't meet the standards. In middle schools, it was 1 school serving Fruit 2O and 1% chocolate milk. And in high school, it was primarily comprised of sports drinks at 1 school and other beverages such as coffee, tea, and smoothies at another. So what we sort of garnered from this information was that the reasons for not meeting the BPS guidelines may be due to lack of knowledge or needing clarification around these issues about 1% versus non-fat flavored milk and the Fruit 2Os in particular. The limitations of the study is that the time of day of data collection varied. So if we arrived just before, just after school lunch, for example, we may have missed some of the competitive beverages that were served a la carte. We did not determine if the vending machines were locked or not accessible during school hours. However, the competitive beverage guidelines apply to everything sold on school property, so it wouldn't have made much of a difference in our analysis. And furthermore, no baseline assessment of beverage availability prior to the implementation of the policy. For implications of this study, we have a comprehensive district-wide competitive beverage policy that can translate into sustained, healthier environments. And these are positive findings for other school districts that are working to comply with the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act and Smart Snack program. This is evidence of long-term sustainability and effectiveness of competitive beverage policies and also sugar-sweetened beverage bans in schools. And finally, the potential decline in soda consumption among students when they were banned from schools from the first study from our group in conjunction with this indicates that could be another downstream effect of the total ban. I wanted to thank our group at the Boston Public Schools and the Harvard School Public Health Prevention Research Team, and again, our funder for the project. Thank you.